I'm Winnie Post Jim Gaff, joined by Mike C.
What's up?
Corey Fine.
Yo.
And Tony Kourkounakis.
Hello.
Hello. So,
listen.
Listen.
Hey.
Listen.
Over here.
Welcome, listeners, and welcome, viewers on YouTube, to our episode 335, Gamescast. We have a lot of Zelda talk incoming. Mike wants to be devil's advocate, I'm sure. He's not played the game, so we all know before we get into this. I will critique the game, I promise you guys. I have critiques, but we'll get into that a little bit later. I can't wait to talk about this game. I just finished it, like, an hour ago. Actually 2 hours ago now. What was it? Yeah, it was like 7:30 or... No, it was 8 o'clock. I finished at 8 o'clock.
I think there's an asterisk there, though.
No, it's not. Because we're going to get into that.
We will.
Oh, my goodness.
I may have to leave.
No. We'll keep it spoiler-free.
Yeah, no. It's about what you can find in the game and how I found the story. So, yeah, that's it. So... let's get into some gaming news first before we do that.
Let's do this, Jim. What gaming news do you have up
and
ready
for
us?
Well, in contrast to what we heard from Microsoft last week on the Xbox streaming service, the Netflix-like service coming, Sony has announced that PlayStation Now is going to be bringing PS4 games to their PlayStation Now service. So you have that on the PC. So similar idea here, getting PS4 games finally. No mention about what content's going to be there or if they're downloadable.
No.
Stream. Streaming only. Okay. So
now,
I don't mind it, but
I don't mind it. It's not for me, obviously, because I own a fucking PlayStation 4. But it's kind of telling to me that Sony is willing to do this. Expand to like another platform entirely. But also the fact that we just talked, I think, within the past month about how PlayStation Now got pulled from PlayStation 3. So it's like, why did that happen? It's like, because they don't want you streaming PS4 games to your PS3.
Yeah. And like now it makes sense.
Sony.
It's coming back.
I mean, it's like the opposite. It's like what cable companies are doing right now with the streaming. Like, all these streaming sites are just destroying them. So what do? Raise their prices so the people who are paying for it, like, well, this sucks. I'm not going to stay here. Like, don't do that to, like, just keep pushing people away. Give people more reasons to buy the new thing or, like, what's going to be good for them. Like, give me, you know, like, CW's has their app. You know, I'm seeing a ton of stupid ads for their TV shows on there. But, like, I'm watching the show because it's free and it's easy. Like, just make it easy for me. And if I have a PS3 and I can play PS4 games on it, maybe it's not the best quality, maybe it's not the best, like, you know, way of seeing it, but then, like, wait, I could play this on a PS4? Maybe I'll go buy a PS4!
Exactly.
So, my question about this is bandwidth for both of these services. Like, there's a terabyte, not a terabyte, what is it, limit? There's, like, a cap on it's terabyte, actually, on Comcast right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'll get used up quick. I mean, I use, like, 650 a month.
It's just you and one other person.
Yeah. I use about 650 a month. Now, we both stream like crazy here, but that's ridiculous.
You know, when you guys kept telling me, like, in the future, you know, internet connections would be better? Are they any better than they were 5 years ago?
They are, but they're astronomical in price, Mike. They really are. Like, I'm actually getting...
So, functionally, for the average person, are they any better than they were 5 years ago?
Yes.
They are.
Because... promotions that give you that faster speed. The problem is you can't really use it because you're capped at 1 terabyte.
Well, the other problem is everything is moving with that. Like, you're not getting super speed and then small freaking KB file, like 100 KB file.
Yeah, ultra HD.
Everything is scaling. Yeah, exactly. With that, like, so that it doesn't feel faster because you're getting higher quality and bigger files.
Personally, with streaming, I'm fine with, like, DVD quality. Like, I don't...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because I had the Netflix... Netflix, I actually tried their 4K stream, and I can't tell a difference.
Oh!
So...
Oh, snap.
It's streaming feed.
You're
the bit...
Returning your TV then, right?
No. Because I do see the difference in 4K movies. Like, actual, like, disc movies. And games, holy shit, like... Going back to Horizon, like, holy fuck. Like, that, just my TV loves that game. It lives for that game. So, like, I
that
got
is like a super showpiece. Like, that's the game you show people. HDR, like,
the HDR aspect of it with the bright reds that they have in that game, the mm-hmm. the blurry neon thing they do. Oh, ooh, Jesus, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I think Jim just came.
Yeah.
I mean, erect.
Coming from, like, the art style.
There's our title. Zelda, Jim just came.
The art style from Zelda is interesting, but it doesn't hold up on TV, like a 4K TV. There's a lot of aliasing issues, and there's so much slowdown in the world that going back to a game like Horizon that runs is amazing. Now, I wish that I had that performance in Zelda, like, because it just would have been, like, I mean, the game was amazing as it was, but Jesus. Like, that's the first thing I thought of when I popped in Horizon today. I'm like, God, I wish, like, I could get a Zelda game now in HDR. I remember, like, talking about I wanted Zelda in 1080p. And now we get it. Now I'm like, now I kind of want it in HDR. So it's just like, I always want more. But Horizon looks so good. It really does. So we'll get into that later, though. We'll talk about Horizon. Don't worry. You guys have been playing that. Tony and I have been playing Zelda. What about this bill from Left 4 Dead? What's this news?
Oh, yeah. So there's that game. What was it?
Dead by Daybreak or something like that?
Dead by Daylight.
Daylight.
Okay.
Where it's like that. It's kind of like that Left 4 Dead / Evolve thing where it's a four-person cooperative versus one person as, like,
one versus many
monster. Right. So it's done pretty well in terms of, like, streaming viewership and whatnot. The game has, I think
it was at Comic-Con New York when we were there, like, in that bottom basement area.
Yep, I'm pretty sure it was, too. But the developers reached out to, you know, Valve, and they got Bill from Left 4 Dead, the original Left 4 Dead, as a playable character in it. And what's cool is it's not just, like, a skin or anything. I mean, it's a player model, but he actually has unique effects, too. Kind of like in Left 4 Dead, like, if he resuscitates a, you know, disabled player, they become immune to the, you know, enemy monster dude for extra longer. Or if he's the last person standing, he hijacks, like, equipment faster, you know, stuff like that. So I was like, ah, it's pretty cool. I don't know. It's personally, I like seeing anything new with Left 4 Dead because I love that series, and I'm really hoping for Left 4 Dead 3 this year. Fingers crossed. But, yeah.
And it's crazy how Turtleback just. Is it Turtleback? Turtle Beach? I don't know. It's Turtle Beach. Beach. Well, that's the headset company.
That's the
headset,
I think
it's Turtle Rock, maybe?
Turtle Rock, yeah. I think Turtle Rock.
They just dropped the ball on Evolve, too, which really sucks, because that could have been.
I think that was more of the publisher than them. Like,
it was a combined effort. It was definitely publisher, for sure, but at the same time, it was, you know, them as well. Because it was super exciting watching it in PAX. Like,
I remember that first PAX
booth was just ridiculous. Like, everybody was crowded around that. And it had a lot of potential for streaming and stuff like that, but
it's a multiplayer only game. That's the thing. You have a big group of people. It's going to be exciting, but for people to buy it and play it consistently,
it was definitely the model. Like, I see that being the publisher's hand a lot too. Just like the way things were set up with that game and the gates that they kept putting in front of you, paywalls and all that stuff. That was just killed it.
Yeah. All right, so what else we have here? Hang on. It closed on me, so.
When Jim looks down to look at the document, he disappears.
Yeah, I'm sorry. my lights are blown out behind me. There's one light that works, but there's this weird glare, so that's why I'm really dark right now. So
you're just stealthing, Jim, that's all.
I mean, I could turn the lights, but there's kind of a glare. We could try it if you want, but it's up to you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Final Fantasy 15 DLC was detailed finally for Gladius.
Mm-hmm. It showed it at PAX.
Yeah, it was revealed at PAX.
Oh, okay, cool.
Square had a big presence at PAX.
I call him Gladius. From we were talking about that earlier. All right.
He might as well be Gladius.
Yeah.
Without being too spoily, I guess in the main game where he just, like, totally just leaves.
Peace out, dudes.
He's like, the one chapter, he's like, I gotta take care of something. And you're just like, okay. You're like, see you, bro. I can't stop you, clearly, because you're fucking big and jacked and huge. But apparently it takes place during that where he got upset about fighting Luna's brother. Not even fighting, but like how easily he got knocked away by Luna's brother. So he is on a quest to obtain more power and seeks out Gilgamesh, who supposedly can make him train to be stronger. But he seeks out, what's his name? The dude from the very beginning of the game where you like paired up with him for a little bit. Like, he was part of the original, like, Noctis'
dad's crew. Marshall.
The Marshall. He teams up with the Marshall for this DLC. I'm just like, so, let me get this straight. The Marshall didn't help me at all during, like, like chapters 2 through 13 in that game. But Gladio comes up to you and helps you out. Like, what? Like, how is this fitting into the narrative? Because that guy, if he was my party, like, if he was my party, certain events in that game would not have happened. I'll just say it that way.
He's got to go through the experience, man. You can't just, you know,
that's so
make dumb. It easy mode.
I hate that. I hate that. I hate it. It's like, it's just above or below that trope where it's like, oh, you need to help. Like, I'm asking you for help. And if you do this thing for me that helps you, I'll give you this item that makes you more powerful. It's like, why don't you give me the item first to make me stronger so I can go and do that thing a little easier and not die? No. That's not how things work around here. It's like, all right then. Fuck you too. That's one of my worst. I hate that trope.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. Like, I was thinking about that today. I probably won't get this DLC. What?
You're like away from your mic.
Yeah. Because of how dark it is, I can probably... Oh, now it's all silver on the screen. Sorry, everybody. But because of, like, all the games I have to play, I think that... I won't get to the DLC right away, but I will get it when it's discounted, probably.
When it's all out, I'll probably...
Yeah.
It's possible.
You know they'll discount it, so...
Yeah.
This is probably a bit loud, isn't it?
It's been kind of going up and down a little bit.
Really? Well, that's probably good. So, that's a good level. All right. What else do we have here? South Park. What is this? South Park?
Oh, South Park. Man, South Park. So, I don't know who put that on there, but I know that all the pre-orders on PSN got refunded, and they took away the bonus of the Stick of Truth game as well.
Well, that's no good.
If you pre-ordered it, you got that, but now they just refunded everybody and took it all away because they don't know when it's coming out.
Yeah. Well, I think PSN has this thing where
if it's not out at a certain time,
if it's not out by a certain amount, they have to refund it for you know, whatever purposes.
Okay.
But
maybe that's all it was, but
Now people are saying that they can't actually pre-order it again because they've already owned it. Mm-hmm. Then it says they don't own it, so they can't play the game.
There'll be plenty of time to fix it. Don't worry.
Well, I'm not worried. I'm just saying, you know, people who have the Stick of Truth can't play the Stick of Truth now.
The Stick of Truth is only $7.99 on Xbox One right now.
Don't think I'd play that on Xbox One. I have it, so. Well.
It ran like garbage, if you remember. And I'm wondering if it runs any better on Xbox One as an emulator.
Huh?
I remember that game.
Wait,
are you
garbage. Talking about backwards compatibility?
Yeah, it's backwards. It's backwards compatible. It's right now. It's available.
Oh, I thought it was just the remastered version or whatever.
No. You can get it right now to play. If you want to play Stick of Truth, so for $7.99. All right, is that all the news? Yeah, that's all the news we have. Now we can talk about stuff we've been up to. Because this is the meat and potatoes of this podcast right now. Let's get into this. So you guys can have the floor with Horizon first. I want to know how Mike. You've played a shit ton of Horizon.
I really have.
Corey, you probably played a shit ton too, right?
I try to get it in here and there. I didn't get to play it all like these last 3 days, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I couldn't play it all. But like,
so
my son's been sick, so
maybe the game's not that good then. I know his kid's been sick. That's a terrible excuse. I'm just saying. Wow. Offensive gym today. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm offending Corey like crazy, and I have to borrow one of your Joy-Con controllers. Anyways, Mike, tell us about Horizon.
Yeah, I think I'm like level 42 or something now. So,
okay,
a lot of time in there. I got to a point where the story mission, a character warned me, is like, make sure your affairs are like in order before you go in here. So I feel like it starts the end game. So I stopped that and went into to find all my like side quests and stuff. I even did one of the Hunter's Lodge challenges, which I didn't really want to do at all when I first heard about it. But the weapon I got was all right. That I don't know how to do the higher tier ones at all. That seems almost impossible. But I'm still really liking it. I'm still liking the world. It's worth exploring. I'm a little pissed off about their power cell bait and switch thing. If anyone has any idea what I'm talking about with that, you know what I mean. With a certain set of armor in there, where it seems like you only need two of something. You open up one door and it's like, just kidding, you need three more. And there's only exactly as many as necessary in the game's world. So when you miss one, and they're all in like quest mission, like main quest missions. So when you miss one, you'd have to go way out of your way to go back and get it. So that kind of bugs me. I will say, for 1 second, I switched and played like a couple rounds of Titanfall multiplayer because I was so mad at Horizon. Because the worst thing in this game is it's shitty Uncharted light climbing, and it's pretty bad.
I actually don't have a problem with the climbing at all. I think that is pretty easy.
I think it's just a waste of time mostly. It's either you can't see it at all because it's not highlighted and you'll just stand there looking like an idiot forever, or it's so obvious.
So I'm not trying to make fun of the game at this point in time, but you're saying you just can't climb whatever you want in an open world game?
No. You have to be very specific. And so I was just going towards an objective, and the climbing is either you don't know half the time if it wants you to
just
press
look for the
jump.
Straight ledge, man. That's all it is.
No,
it's just a straight ledge.
I had a hard time. I know what you're saying, because when I went to the climbing parts earlier, like when I was playing this, I had a hard time finding exactly where I was supposed to climb to, like jump wise. I couldn't find it anywhere.
So, and sometimes it just goes if you press forward, and other times if you happen to press forward the wrong way, you'll just jump off like an idiot. Or if you press jump when it just wants you to go forward, you'll kill yourself. So basically, I was on my way from a bit from a campfire that I saved at to an objective, and I just like jumped off a cliff for no goddamn reason. And I'm like, fuck you, game.
So
that's my biggest gripe really with the game. And you, jumping over things that you weren't meant to jump on, you can do it, but it's really sort of ugly.
I got back into the game just a little bit ago before we started the podcast, and just talking about climbing here, just to tell this story. Like, I jump back in, and I had this, I'm doing this, like, investigation of a death. So there's a point where you're like, you get ambushed, and these guys are way up top, and this one guy was, like, stuck behind this fixture where he couldn't, like, shoot me, and I couldn't shoot him. So I was like, no problem, I'll just jump up there and get him, I'll just climb up. And I kept jumping at the thing, and she wouldn't just fucking climb. And I'm like, what the fuck? She won't just climb shit. And I'm like, where's the... I couldn't remember that you needed to find those stupid white-marked platforms to jump on.
Well, and again, not all of them are actually marked the same way, so...
Yeah. So that is a gripe. That is a complaint, without a doubt.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I put a lot of time in this. The gameplay itself is real fun. The action, the story... still interesting, even though I've sort of intentionally put off the main quest a little bit here for some side stuff. And apparently that matters. I read there's multiple endings. So it
really
matters. Certain people will come to your aid if you help them, I guess, is what I seem. I got a little bit of a hint just from a title from something along those lines, which means being at least a quest-wise completionist, I'm happy with that, I suppose. So yeah, I'm probably gonna finish this game within by next week. So.
Well, hey, we got a snow. Well, you're not working anyways, but we got a snow day tomorrow probably.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I heard the snow started already in this area.
Yeah. So aside from some weird climbing and some questionable like resource economy in this game, it's very compelling, and
I'm really enjoying the story. And I did get to a point where they explain some things now, and you're like, it just drives you further into the mystery of what's going on and where this game's going, and like, why are there these robot dinosaurs living on this like Earth, and how do they power themselves? Like all these things that you have questions about, like they start answering. So I really appreciate that. So yeah, I think that's an important for the story to push you forward and keep going. But like you said, like I'm doing all side stuff too now, and like I've got all the lodges done.
Is good too. I mean,
It's very organic. Like it's really part of the world. That's what I've heard
most of the time. Not all of it. Some of it is still kind of like, oh, by the way, I have something wrong. Go help me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it.
And they do a decent job of the side quests. But as you're saying with the Hunter's Lodges, I have everything done except for two. I need to do two. I need two Blazing Suns. That's all I have left.
I have no idea. I've never gotten close to a Blazing Sun. I had full suns, but never a Blazing Sun. I don't know. It doesn't seem possible.
I spent like half an hour on like one lodge, and that's like just to get it. Because like you figure out what to do, it's really just timing and making sure you execute everything properly.
I guess so. Part of my hesitance, and I have less of it now since I'm so high level, is that go to these hunting lodges, it's not really unnecessary. You burn a lot of resources to take down some of those things.
Oh, if I don't get a Blazing Sun, I just reset the game basically by dying. I just kill myself.
How much better are the rewards they give you for that?
I don't even know yet. I haven't cashed anything in, so I have no idea.
Well, they give you boxes each time you get a sun.
Whatever.
That's mostly for, I think,
that's just
resources you actually burn while you're trying to do it. That's I'll say recently when I was actually getting the first weapon from that, I actually ran out of Ridgewood, which I never thought would happen.
And that is impossible. I had like 400 bundles of that.
Oh, I had 700 at one point, and I ran out of it. Ridgewood and Blaze, I ran out of doing these hunting trials because... You know, you got to kill some pretty big things sometimes, and I just pump
just read, you got to read the description on them sometimes too, because like if you just do exactly what they say and not really have to, you don't have to do much more. Like there's a couple of them where I was like, I kind of gamed it just basically because it really doesn't require you to do what you think you have to do. So just keep that in mind. But as far as like the game though, like you're saying gameplay wise, it makes you feel like badass. I mean, you're taking down these giant robot dinosaurs with a bow and arrow. I mean, it's like ridiculous. It is really, it does get that like blood flowing, and I do appreciate it so far.
Did you guys notice the thing I semi accidentally shared on our YouTube
for no.
a little bit of gameplay here?
I didn't watch. I saw it was that, so I didn't watch it because I didn't want any spoilers.
There's a few instances where you know that shit's going to go down. And you have all these trap abilities, and like you have traps and these tripwires and everything.
So that's my gripe I have with that game.
You
like,
hardly have a
chance. The tripwire fights me to get into place.
Well, it needs to...
You just haven't used enough, Jim. It's pretty basic.
Really,
you can't attach it
diagonal.
Anything. You have to attach it to the fixtures, though, right?
No,
you can't just like put it...
It's almost anything, and the ground.
Should I shoot the ground?
Really? I couldn't get the other end to touch the ground. It would just, I'd shoot, it wouldn't work.
There's very few things that won't go in, but there are some things that won't. But, so basically, I knew that an area would be kind of a boss area, so in this YouTube video, I went all out of tripwires everywhere with some bombs sprinkled in. Unfortunately, they do start disappearing if you go too crazy. there's only so many you can put up. I would suggest, I think it's just like whatever your full pouch is, and then it'll start disappearing.
But that's the fun of this game, is that you can kind of tackle a scenario many different ways, and you have a lot of different like pieces of equipment that you can use.
So basically, you could see me totally over preparing for a boss fight on YouTube with millions of traps and explosions and stuff. Because again, it is sort of hard to actually use the traps and stuff in normal combat. It's a little too slow.
It's one of those things, but you have to, it's a preparation tool.
But if you know something's going to go down in a certain spot, it's pretty rewarding to just set something up like that. So that's up there on our YouTube if you want to see it.
Cool.
All right. Corey, what have you been playing?
Piggybacking on Horizon, just mostly Horizon. And like I said before, it really does make you feel awesome, like doing the stuff you're doing in the game. And the Hunter's Lodge is what they are, just kind of trials and basically tutorials within the game that don't make you feel like you're doing a tutorial. And I do like how it kind of opens up like more options for you without you having to be like, how do I use this? And it kind of shows you what you can do, what different things are out there that are possible. And I think that I've used those more now that I've known about it. So I'd recommend checking those out, even if you don't go for like the fastest score. It's just, it's interesting scenarios that they put you in.
Yeah,
but yeah, yeah, I mean, it's great. I highly recommend the game. I'm looking forward to seeing how you guys feel about it, and you know, I'll talk to Mike offline about some things.
All right. Good.
I'm back into it, so I'll be playing it tomorrow, actually, maybe, because when I finished Zelda, I had the desire to do more, finally, like more of it after, now that I've got more of the story and stuff. I want to do more now of the game, but I'll probably play Horizon to get that done and come back to Zelda. So it's the time of year for me that's actually an issue. Like, there's just so much games coming out. It's just like, just spread this stuff out, guys. Come on, work together here, not against each other. So, like, I could technically play Mass Effect on Thursday if I wanted to, because I have EA Access. If I, you know, I don't have it subscribed yet, but I have the code to subscribe to. I just haven't done it.
You know, I think I have 10-day code or something.
Yeah, I could do it. I'm not going to, because I got to finish Horizon now. And then by then I'll be able to, you know, anytime I have opening, I'll probably run back to Zelda and finish up some shrines. But Tony, what have you been up to?
Bomberman, man. It's all that Bomberman.
Oh yeah, so much Bomberman. no, I actually played a little bit more of Shovel Knight's Specter of Torment DLC. Just, it's a good closer. Like, sometimes I'm just, you know, it's just like, eh. With Zelda, it's very easy to get, like, sucked in. Like, I'll just do one more shrine, or I'll do one more thing, and it's just like, wait, what? Like, I'm halfway across the map. What did I do?
Horizon has that problem, too, sometimes. Yeah.
So it's just like,
so cool.
So it's just like, I just gotta, like, gotta save, and then I'll play one level of Shovel Knight, because that's it. Like, so I think I've beaten half the other knights. It's pretty cool, just because it's definitely different than the other games. First of all, so you have Shovel Knight, and then you have the first DLC was Plague Knight. Plague Knight happens concurrently with Shovel Knight's campaign, which is kind of an interesting premise, because like, story mode, like, you see him go to the same locations and venues that Shovel Knight did. But Spectre of Torment's a prequel, so it shows how Spectre Knight came to be and stuff like that. So he's going around recruiting the other knights into the you know, coalition, or whatever you want to call it. So it's pretty interesting. The combat is a lot better, I want to say, just because it's more like fast-paced, action-oriented, and you can string together a lot of like moves and whatnot. So it's pretty cool. Enjoying it so far. We'll see how it winds up overall, but I mean, still solid. Playing, you know, I played so much Zelda over the weekend. I had a Thursday and Friday off because I still just had the days off from PAX, so I was like, fuck it, playing Zelda. So I finally beat that Sunday? Yes, Sunday afternoon. Like, I got to the last place Saturday night, and I was like, alright, I gotta stop. I gotta save this for like, Sunday, not beat it up.
So you're talking about, like, the castle, or before?
Can't say.
Come on, Jim. I'm trying to be vague, man. Like, don't be just throwing that out.
Be a dick,
listen, man. If you don't know the premise of certain things, that I don't count this stuff as a spoiler. Like, I posted it on Facebook.
You don't know
image.
That, though. You don't know that. Like, come on. I mean, err on the side of caution.
But, you mean Zelda has a castle in it? That's crazy.
I know.
That's not what I'm saying, but yeah.
Okay. Misdirection.
I mean, considering the game's design, where you could actually just go to the end and just try and do that if you wanted. People can do that, so
yeah,
they kind of make that clear in the game right away.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I actually wanted to, you know, get it done over the week, because like, there's still so much to do. Like, in terms of shrine count, I'm only halfway through the shrines, which is kind of like unbelievable. And like, in terms of how many I've done, I think I've done 60. Something like that. And we're just like, how is there 60 more in the world? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand where the hell they are. Because I've been through most of them now. Not all of it, but like most of it. So I would have figured, you know, maybe I had like 20 left or 30. It's like, you know, 60. I'm like, fuck. Yeah. So I don't know if I'll do completionist. At least not right away.
It's going to take so much of your time to do that. Like, that's what gets me about open world games, where I don't play them as completionist. So, which we'll get into for me, for
well,
one
just
aspect.
Real quick, I think as far as completionist part with Zelda, and I think it's a big miss on Nintendo's part, is they don't have a trophy or achievement system. Like, if they had that, like, super rare, like, completed all shrines trophy, that's a badge of honor you can wear on your account. Well, like, that's why you do Platinums, Tony. I mean, that's just, like, that's anything, cool.
Is there any, like, item or anything in game you would get if you did that or not?
No. Have, like, all shrines. Is there?
Yes.
See, I did not know this, but
there is something there.
Interesting. Yeah, so you're playing the shit ton out of it, and there are so many shrines, and you stopped it on, and you played that last area on Sunday.
Yeah, I beat it on Sunday. I mean, I booted up a little bit today just to, because there's some locations on the map that I had marked, and that's the cool thing about the game is, like, I'm like, I gotta come back here and check that. So I, like, would put a marker on the map and be like, I need to come back to this. And I came back today, I was like,
so the best, oh, that's like, let's stop there about this game. So this is what this game does. When you talk about an open world game, like, you guys have, you're talking about markers on your map. You say, you know, you have ideas of where you need to go for quests. You don't have any idea in this game. There are no markers. You map yourself how this thing's laid out. The only thing that comes up on your map are towers, shrines, and villages. That's it. Like, that's all you have. If you need to go get something for somebody, you need to, like, pin something. Like, I found this random thing. I'm trying to keep it vague. So I put a star on it because I'm like, well, this might be useful later on in the game. So I start it. And then you have to kind of, like, note. I took notes here about what my star locations were so I could remember. You know, so there's, like, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, there's different icons you can do. Stars, swords, treasures.
Skull,
yeah. So, I mean, there's different things. So you can mark, like, a monster and stuff that you want to fight. It's a cool aspect about games. Like, you guys know I'm not a huge open world guy. Like, I'm not. I don't really like open world games. Very few do I actually play and enjoy. And this happened to be one of them. And I thought that was a cool take on it. Because I'm trying to, like, think about what this does differently in the open world. And that's one of its major points that it does differently. Mm-hmm. So, right there. Go on, Tony. Sorry, I thought that I just want to mention that part.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the things I think is one of the game's major strengths, because, like, you know, I forget if we had mentioned it on the podcast last week or we were just talking about it, just kept, like, to each other, Jim. But, like, literally, the game is like, it is like literally make your own adventure, because the stuff that you did, I guarantee, is not the same thing I did, or at least not in the same order.
You had definitely a completely different experience for things, because, like, there was an aspect that you told me about yesterday, and I was like, "What?" I started it today. I did follow that rule, and it helped for a couple. And then I'm like, and then I give up, and I'm like, I'm just gonna. Yeah. Do this.
I know, but if you had done it during your main quest, it wouldn't have been an issue. That's all I'm saying.
I had done more than I thought. I had done four or five. I had five done actually.
Okay, that's not bad.
I had five done, which was hilarious when I went back to the spots to find them. And I'm like, wait, I already did this part. I'm like, oh, and then I realized that there's, like, markers that tell you you've done them. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I've done more than I thought.
Yeah.
But I found three this morning on my own, and then I ended up using – I bought a strategy guide for those wondering. Now, there's aspects of this game where they don't give you there's obviously no direction.
Well, sorry to interrupt real quick, but, like, for me, like, with Horizon, I made a conscious effort not to look anything up or to, like, back, like, I don't want to have to, like, oh, I have to backtrack and do this, or I have to do that, or think about this, or think about that. And, like, with you, Mike, you're saying, like, oh, I can't believe I missed this one thing for this other thing.
Well,
and it's like,
it's, I literally only did that because of the bait and switch.
Right. No, I understand. But, like, for me, I was like, for this game, I'm going to try to do this without looking at anything and see where I end up at the end, and then obviously go back if I want to platinum it or whatever, because I'm sure I'll miss stuff. But, like, I didn't want to have that, like, okay, I'm going to this part now and I know I need to get this thing, 'cause it's the only time I would get it. Like, I didn't want to have that feeling.
No. Tony didn't look anything up during this. Like, he played it straight up, right?
I'm not saying you guys did. I'm just saying that's my experience.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't want that, like, and that's what I want to, like, I feel like with Zelda, that's exactly what I want to do with Zelda too, is, like,
yeah,
go in there, like, not know anything. I don't want to, like, not obviously the stuff you guys are talking about, but you're not going to spoil anything. But just, like, oh, I'm going to discover these different things and, you know, cooking stuff and then having a different sound when you make a new recipe or something that's actually better than the one you did before. It's like that, those types of things are pretty neat experiences.
Yeah. It's really cool. The cooking discovery, like so many things you do on your own, you have no idea how to do it. And it's really cool when you realize it, you're like, oh, okay. Then you sit there. I mean, there was a day where I was at work. Thank you to the Switch hardware, where I can, it's portable. So I can kind of like queue it up and I can still do my job. And I can like, cause it, you keep like popping into sleep mode, put it down, pop it back in. It resumes instantly where you were. So like I was cooking like all day foods until I filled up my food slots. I kept doing that. You can fill up your food slots. It there's a lot. So don't tell, like, it's not, you're not inventory management as much for your food and supplies as you are for your weapons and bows. So, but you know, that you do inventory managed. So there's not really much inventory management, which is great. Mm-hmm. But is there, I don't know. That's another thing. Never mind. I can't get into that. So anyways, Tony, where were we? We were talking about, so again, Corey, yeah. you'll have your own experience.
No, I'm sure. Yeah,
and you can definitely go into it blindly, and it's gonna be.
No, I there's nothing. I'm not saying that you guys were like looking up at strategies on how to do things. I'm just saying that that's what I'm excited for.
I stayed away. I mean, I stay away from a lot of it. The only thing I used that book for most of the time was like the like a world map. I can kind of help me when I'm moving along, and then there was a couple things that we got to later in the game, which I will keep.
I think there's games that definitely cater to this, like you're saying, like it's build your own adventure, which before, and like you're filling out the map. Like this game is designed for that, I think. Whereas some other games, you're like, it just makes it frustrating. You're like, fuck this, I'm going
to
look it up.
Okay. Well, that's, for me, I got to the point where I wanted to complete the game. Like I wanted to finish parts of this game right now because I really wanted to. Like I wanted to finish, but I wanted to get these other aspects too. Because. Mm-hmm. One of my gripes with the game is it's the story is not. I think it could have used more story. It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. I liked it, but I thought it could like. And that's, it's funny. The two of my gripes are more. I just want more. So the first one is the story, where I feel like the way they did it, it's like fragmented. So it's like the experience is not quite as good because of what they were going for in this game. And that's a good thing, I guess, for a lot of people. Like, Corey, you're going to love that. Like, it's fantastic. Now, I don't really like open world games. So for me, I'm like, I kind of wanted that purposely driven thing. I do like having that guide. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I like having. So I like having certain structures. I do. And I know that's old fashioned thinking, because now it's all about open world and just go wherever you want. And literally you can do that in this game. But it's just,
there's definitely a time and place for those things.
I definitely wanted to settle in and do the game. Like I wanted to, like, okay, I did all this stuff.
Now,
shrine,
now it's time to.
I'm ready to
complete
do
what.
And that's what happened to me, Tony.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me, Tony. Like you were really talking.
Yeah. You do you, man. You do you.
I did.
You do you.
So.
That's the only you Jim does.
Yes. So, anyways, go on, Tony, for your experience. So.
No. So I mean, I was playing it today, and actually before the podcast, I was just exploring because, you know, like I said, I marked somewhere on the map and just never got back to it. And I was like, oh, crap, you know, I meant to explore this
that's
one right. area.
You go out to get something and you get distracted.
You do. You're like, ooh, like, thing over here. It's like, oh, thing over there.
Oh, dude, I was flying, because you can glide. I was flying to a shrine that I knew I was going to. And then I was looked down, I'm like, oh, what the hell is that? And I just dropped down and checked it out. And then completely got sidetracked.
Right. So I found this entirely new area today. I was like, oh, this looks interesting. I wonder what's in here. And it was a interesting thing. I think it's a unique thing in the game. And, you know, led to a shrine, and I completed it. And I got this item where I'm like, I wish I had gotten this in the first, like, 3 hours of this game, because it would have been, like, not, like, completely altered it, but I'm like, damn, like, that suited my playstyle a lot more. Like, I would have been, like, just...
I bet you I know what it was. I did a shrine run today. Yesterday evening, I did like 4 shrines, and two of them gave me these two items that were like, that's amazing. Cause
yeah, it's like,
yep. Going anywhere and doing anything just became a lot more fun.
Yep.
So yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's cool.
I think maybe the game times it, like, progress wise to give you that.
No.
We just happened to do the same shrines then. Cause I hit those shrines. You know what it was, is the area. I don't know. I just went to that area, and I'm like, I just opened chests, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting to get that equipment. I didn't even know that was in the game. So.
Yeah, but it's just really cool. And like the thing is, like, there's so much of that out there. Because now that I beat it, I'm a little bit more loose with like what I'm looking up. Because, you know, items and stuff. It's like, I'm gonna get that eventually. It's just, you know, I didn't want to know.
Well,
about
now
it
now I'm gonna really enjoy it with the guide. I'm really gonna go pick apart things and kind of learn and experience more of the game. So that's my other thing. But negatives. You have negatives. You have to have some gripes.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this is where I know you're going, but no game is perfect. I mean, that's the thing. Any game would be improved. Maybe the exception of like Tetris. That's the only game.
This game is getting 10 out of 10s from so many people. Like, we've had this conversation in Slack.
Yeah.
Mike. Yeah. You talked about this. Now, a 10 out of 10, and now Corey said this today, does not mean it's a perfect game. It was just a perfect experience for the person. And it's not like
I wouldn't say it's a perfect experience. Perfect.
I don't think perfect is the word.
No. I would say that a 10 out of 10 means the reviewer can't think that there was anything that bothered them enough to say that an obvious change could be made to make it better. Now, obviously, anything could always be better, but the reviewer has to think that there's nothing that should have been better or nothing that was a missed opportunity. You know, every check as far as enjoyment was hit, or it was so enjoyable in one aspect that they don't even care about the things that were missed a little bit.
Yeah. And I can see why there were 10 out of 10s in this game. I wouldn't give it a perfect score. I would give it a 9.5 without a doubt. that's where I'm at. 9.5. I would go 9.7, but I don't like doing like 9.7. I like just, you know, doing the half point increments. So, it's very good. It is the hardest, probably the hardest game I've played.
What would it qualify for you to give a 10? Like, is,
well, I can rattle off some gripes I had. That's why I was asking.
Well, I'm sure you can, but I'm just saying, like, you're saying this is a 9.5 for you and your experience. You're obviously gushing about it. It's been a great experience for you.
I don't think I can give any. I don't think I can.
But Bert, here's that. That's my point, Jim. If you're saying this is the highest score you will give a game, then your 9.5 is really a 10.
Okay. I mean, by that argument, you might be right.
Like, if you're literally saying I can't give this game any higher, well, that,
I
mean, is your 10.
I do have legitimate, I have some issues with it. I mean, I
know, yeah, but I'm, you got saying, issues with everything. Like, what's your favorite game of all time? Like,
that's where, I mean, I don't know. I have to go back to those game lists. I don't even remember where I listed.
I mean, yeah, I know, but Dragon Force is on there, and like Bass Effect.
And now it's turned into my conversation. I was trying to get Tony's gripes first, but this is without a doubt the best Zelda game I've ever played.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I will make the statement.
Link to the Past for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
When I finished it, and even if I had my gripes about boss battles, boss battles were kind of straightforward for me. Dungeons were, there was one tricky dungeon I remember being really like, what the fuck is going on with this dungeon?
One dungeon got me, where I was like, yeah. I did look up one thing. I spent a long time in this one dungeon, and yeah, I thought I did every single thing I could possibly do, and I was just like, I'm clearly missing something here. Like, I even tried to do one thing where I'm like, I don't think the game's supposed to let me do this right now, but I'm going to keep trying because that's all I got left. And I got to this portion of the dungeon. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be here. And I got there, and it wasn't progressing. I'm like, what the literal fuck? So I'm like, all right, like, I spent, I think, 2.5 hours in this dungeon. I was like, fuck this. I'm looking this up because
if it becomes like something where it's,
well, that's the idea where, yeah, looking, I mean, I don't have an issue with looking up things. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just freely look up things while I do it. I'm like, okay, now where do I go next? That's not an experience for me that I enjoy, but
yeah. But there was, and then I looked it up and this one person's like, yeah, this is what you do here. And I'm like, are you serious? I was like,
it's probably the same stuff.
It was one of the first things you had to do in the dungeon, and you had to, not to spoil, you had to do something else. And I was just like, are you serious? Like, I was so mad. I was so mad at myself. I was like, oh, God. Like, I literally tried everything I could think of. Like, I tried interactions. Now, like, maybe I can bomb this area. Like, maybe I can, like, boomerang, like, hit the switch from around the side. I was like, no, can't be done. I was like, all right. I don't do it. But, I mean, if you're, we'll save that other conversation, I guess, for later. But, I mean, if you want to talk about my gripes, I like the durability system. I really do. I thought it was a fresh take on making sure that you were never clearly overpowered, because one of the things in these open world games is if you get like a really powerful item early on just because of like RNG drops. Like, I remember in Fallout 4, I got this really, really, really good plasma thing early on. And I just kept that for like the majority of the game. And like everything else, just like, you know, you're not better than this. Just there's no need for me to ever really switch my weapon. So the durability system, like, kind of circumvents that, because again, you can go and do the game in any order. So I like it, but I do think some of the items just, like, it feels like it's made of just, like, candy or something, because, like, you kill, like, one or two enemies, it's like, yep, this weapon's about to break. I'm like,
Paper swords, and shields.
Guys, this game is so good that when you are in a really hot zone, your wooden equipment will burn. And during a lightning storm, which I have said I've died from, remember I was on the podcast last week saying I got killed from fucking lightning, you have to unequip your metal.
Makes sense. But would you say that this durability system just devalues like weapons as pickups in general? Just
because,
like,
no, because they're still really like you hold those goods. Like I found myself like using
so
a basic
hoard,
sword.
You hoard your good weapons for when you need them. Is what? You
yeah, and you can start recognizing. Like I feel like there could have been more enemies in the areas. Mm-hmm. Like there's just only like five types or something like that, and they're just obviously different colors that denote how strong they are. There was maybe more than five, maybe I'm shorting it, but I feel like there was a lot more repetitive in that part, and that's where I think they can improve on the next game. So you find yourself, I was holding the good stuff to when I was fighting, like, you know, a guardian or something like that. So
right, because the thing is, there's no need for you to spend, like, your good weapons on, like, just, like, the goblins, and even the moblins, because it's, like, they take a lot of hits, but, like, really, like, what's an extra 5 seconds compared
to, like...
I hated using
my weapons on fucking switches. I'm like, I don't want to hit...
Shrine switches should not...
affect it? Because I wasn't certain.
Should not affect it.
I wasn't certain.
I mean, if you hit, like, a ball or something, that affects it. But if hitting a switch does not... I was afraid, too, until somebody, like, flat out just said in the gap. Because somebody else asked that same question. And they're like, nah, you can hit a switch all you want. I was like, thank God. Because, like, there seriously was a time where, like... I don't want to hit this thing with any of my weapons.
Well, no, I kept scrolling through my inventory. I'm like, oh, I got a torch? Fuck yeah, yeah. I'm swinging a torch at this goddamn
exactly.
thing.
But, so. No, because, like, the thing is, like, I think most people will learn quickly that if you're just fighting, like, the regular, like, just generic dudes, like, the lowest of the low on the food chain, like, just hit them with, like, whatever weak weapon you have, pick up their weak weapon, and just kill them with it. Like, there's no reason to use your good weapon on it. You could, it'll make it faster, but really, is it, like... Is it worth, you know? Because generally you get the better weapons from the harder enemies to help you kill the other harder enemies. And then as you progress through the game, like obviously the enemies' weapons get upgraded along the way. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, I feel like it's a tier system. Like, you know, you start with like just sticks and spears, and then you start with, like, bladed stuff, and just kind of builds up.
So like, you know how in Horizon you've got that nice
no.
You have really. All right, so guys, I'm bringing you back into this. So you have this really nice ambiance, like a good air, like atmosphere with the music and stuff. I felt like that is missing from this part of the game. Like, I thought there was too little music, but, like, you know what I'm saying, guys? Like, you've played mm-hmm. Horizon.
It definitely changes when, like, there's an action sequence or like a danger sequence,
but just normal walking. Like, there's still
mm-hmm.
that ambiance in mm-hmm. Zelda. It's done. They do have tones and stuff when you're near things, and that picks up. But for the most part, it's you hear wind blowing. You know, that's it. Like, it is quiet. And you're by yourself out there. So I feel like there could have been more... I feel like there could have been more music. And the music is fucking great. Like,
yeah.
it is fantastic.
I could see that, totally. Because, like, at first I thought that, too. But, I don't know. I think it worked better because you really... At least I did. If you listen to the things that are happening in the game around you, you're more aware of, like, what's going on. Like, again, not to try to spoil anything, but, like... Early on in the game, like, I thought things that were just normal background noises of, like, wildlife or whatnot was just that, background noise. But as I played the game, I learned, like, this one sound means something. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, now I gotta go back to all those other areas I wasn't before and figure out...
Sound effects, you're right. I'm talking about, like, straight music, though. Like,
no,
you're right,
saying,
you're right.
But I'm saying, like, with... If you have
Zelda's,
that
Zelda's
music,
all about those Zelda... Zelda's always been about the cues. Like, they're always
right.
about the sound effect cues. But,
right.
Like, and there's certain music, you're right, that does play. But I feel like just a general, like, they could have been more of it.
Again,
another thing that I feel like there should have been more of, because like, it was so good. When the credits rolled, I just sat there listening to the music. It was so good.
Yeah.
I love the music in this game.
Yeah. I mean, I would always like to hear more music, but I think I'm okay. Like, I don't want to say I'm okay with them doing it for the rest of the Zelda, but, like, I mean... it's a pretty big changeup in terms of, like, you know, stepping into Hyrule Field and you hear the, you know, now classic ocarina music or something like that, where just, like, now you're just kind of, like, you hear the wind and the grass blowing in the trees and stuff like that. I mean, I think it was intentional design to just make you focus on your surroundings and stuff like that.
Maybe.
I think works for the game. But, I mean, you know, it's personal preference.
I found myself using the bow a little bit too much myself, but I don't know.
The bow is probably the best weapon in the game.
I leaned on that like crazy, but yeah, that's a personal. You guys can play it however you want, but...
So, as far as I know, you don't have the Zelda ones there, Tony, but Jim, you've been using your amiibos. You said it's like a daily thing. Like, you log, sure. Like for me, logging into Star Wars Card Trader.
It's stopped being daily. It's stopped being daily. Like, you get certain perks. Like, you'll get the cap. You get the tunic from this, from the Apids. So I got the tunic, which is not an Apid style. It's the hero's tunic, but it's, you know. What happened was, when I got all these great items, I realized that I couldn't upgrade them because I had no idea what the fuck this star material was that I needed. Mm-hmm. And I never found it in the game. I actually never found it. So I never used them. My equipment that you get, like, when you get your stuff from this game, like the, you know, the blue shirt, when you get blue shirt, like from the
trailer.
Arm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you just want to use that stuff. And it doesn't matter, because you very rarely are you ever wearing the same piece of equipment for 5 minutes. Like, it's just, for me, I just was constantly switching it up. Like, there's certain aspects, like, because each equipment does different things. So they should have had, like, a loadout thing. That's what they could add.
I could see a loadout thing.
Yeah. Because that would have been a lot easier. But yeah, so the amiibo functions were really cool. And I wish I didn't open this one, because I didn't realize it was going for that much. And I literally just opened it last week before I started playing. The same thing with this guy. So I had the classic Wii only backings, obviously, first print. Yeah, I didn't know this. So I might just sell these things now, get rid of them. I'm not going to use them anymore. So.
Yeah, I mean, you unlocked it. I mean,
I stopped doing them once I got that equipment.
Right, I mean, that's what I did, too. I just save-rigged until I got the...
They also, I think if you use the amiibos every day, it makes it a bit too easy. Like, you get your supplies, you're oversupplied. Like,
yeah, if you do the Guardian amiibo, you actually get, like, pretty good weapons and stuff.
Arrows, I heard?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
So that, it's like,
that arrow fucks shit up.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I'm glad I didn't get this, because not that the temptation would have been there, but
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the one gripe I would say is, like, the dungeons, I was okay with the number, I'm not gonna say what number, but I felt like
I'm trying to
get more there. There could have been a little bit more there,
and there is a dungeon in DLC, I think.
Yeah, there's another incoming. And I think
it
was
weird
a little...
for a Zelda game to mention there wasn't enough dungeons. Isn't that right. Weird?
Well, I mean, so the thing is, it's a little bit lessened because you have so many shrines. And I would say that some of the shrines, not all of them, but I would say the majority of them, like, you look at for, like, a minute or two, you're like, okay, I know what you have to do, and it's just execution. But I would say there's, like, 10% of them where you're just like, what the hell do I have to do here? And there are some where I'm like, I've managed to find a solution to it. I don't know if that was really the intentional way.
Yeah. I think I broke a shrine once. Like, I definitely did not do it the way I was supposed to, because I kind of, like, oh, I don't even want to talk about it, but I definitely did not do it right.
I think that's the beauty of this game, though, is it makes you feel like I'm the first person to ever discover this thing.
Tony, about how you fought in the end. I wanted to talk about that, just because I think I did it a completely different style than you did. I want to know.
That's the thing. I think with this game seems so. Which makes it so cool is that, yeah, like when I just, because I just started it for brief, maybe I could play for maybe an hour. All said and done, and it got me enough to go into a shrine and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, like this is cool. I can do this and do that, and like I have this magnet thing, and it's like, I discovered this. I'm like, oh, and I wonder if anybody else, you know, like that's the cool. And I kind of feel bad that you miss out on that conversation as it's happening, but. At the same time, like I know I'm still gonna enjoy it as later
next,
on. But
next gripe, fucking get rid of the gyroscope.
You could disable that though.
Certain things you couldn't.
Oh. Yeah, I mean that's all right.
Those sucked. Those sucked.
I don't know what that is at all.
It's basically the motion controls.
It's the motion controls. Oh, you can disable them for certain
of course,
things, but you
of
can't.
Course you have a problem for that.
Oh, that sucked, dude, and I. That, there's been a lot of gripes about that for a certain part of the game.
There was one where
should have played the Wii U version.
It was such a Happle thing. Like it would have been in the Wii U because the Wii U controller has the.
They do that too for that.
Yeah.
Like this game, you can see was designed on the Wii U at the start because it
reminds
had, like,
me of the Uncharted sequence where you're on the log and you have to balance your stick so you didn't have to fall off
the log.
The
menus are
log.
Clearly designed to be touchscreen, by the way. Like, and they didn't put, they clearly changed that, but it's still set up where you would probably have a better time touchscreen. But yeah. So you can see that there's certain designs in this game that you can were left over. So I don't know, like. We could talk about this for hours, and I mean,
those were my major gripes. I'd
overall,
say.
Tony, though, where does this rank? What are you thinking?
I mean, I'm still in the honeymoon period, so I don't want to, but like, I still want to play more and give it, like an overall thing. But I think it will surpass Ocarina of Time in my mind, just because like when I played Ocarina of Time, I think I was 16 at the time, which makes me feel super old now. No. Was it 16? I forget how old it is. I want to say 16. I was in high
showing
school.
Showing your age right there, Tony. Yeah. I mean, can't even remember.
Exactly. I know I was in high school at the time. But, like, I remember just playing that game and being like, damn. Like, it was, like, that sense of discovery where, like, you go out into Hyrule Field for that first time and you're like, whoa, like, I can go anywhere in this world and stuff like that. And you just find all these secrets and stuff to do and the NPCs and stuff like that. And I was like, man, like, games got better and stuff like that. Obviously, like, you know, just graphics got better, capabilities got better, but like nothing ever scratched that same sense of discovery and like adventure or journey. But Breath of the Wild definitely did. So
yeah,
I think in the end it will surpass Ocarina of Time for me. But in terms of like a score, my opinion of a 10 is like this is a noteworthy game of time, and frankly, like
I think it is
an essential, like literally an essential, like. I'll even harken back to just a couple of years ago when, like, Last of Us came out. Like, I had no interest in Naughty Dog's whatsoever Naughty Dog games, because Uncharted just does not appeal to me. But Last of Us came out, I was getting all those 10s, I was like, you know what? I'll play it because, I mean, it's got to be good. It wasn't the same score I would have given it, but I'm glad I played it. It was definitely an experience, and I think I'm a better gamer for having played it. So
yeah. Mike, you shook your head. What are you saying now? I know that you have a big gripe with
Naughty Dog is because Naughty Dog and Last of Us is the exact thing where I mean, like, you know, certain people have reputations and they get a little extra points. I think
like there's been a lot of hate I've been listening to recently because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. There's been a lot of hate for Skyward Sword, and I thought that got very good reviews.
It probably did. It's a Zelda game. I mean, if this game wasn't called Zelda, would it be getting tens? Maybe, maybe not.
I'm sure
it's in the 9 to 10 area itself.
Either way it is.
It's there. I think it gets rounded up a little bit because, you know, this is a Zelda game. We've been waiting. You know, it's Zelda again. This is a 10.
That does help. The fact that you can, like, finally experience the Hyrule world the way that we've always imagined is insane. And neither of you guys have played a game, I don't think, where you could literally go anywhere. Have you?
I'm pretty sure I have. I've played it.
Well, depends on how big the world is, I guess.
Yeah. Like, look, when they said to them in the, like, I was listening to, what was it, Game Informer somewhere? Somebody said, or Giant Bomb. I think it was Giant Bomb. Where the guy on
I mean, no one of us played No Man's Sky, right? So.
Well, literally.
I mean, I think technically Fallout 4 was like that.
They started the presentation saying, you see that mountain? You can go there. And that's the way it's been in this game. Like, there is, you know, you're there. Like, anywhere you see, like, you can go. Mountain-wise, land-wise. Like, obviously, there's water at some point, and you can't swim out past where you
can. I can understand your point you're trying to bring up, Mike, but the thing is, like, the game, while it has the name Zelda, is so unconventional in what it does. Like, it takes so many of the staples of what the franchise is and, like, literally just throws them away. Like, just like, no, we don't have this in the game. Like, oh.
I mean,
the
basics about, like, combat are still there, and then I felt like the boss fights were still basic with it, but the rest of this game, like, there's enemies in this game that, like, I'm like, wait, I've played Zelda for, like, my entire life in video games, and it kicked my ass. Like, I know how to Z-target. I know how to target. I know how to dodge. Yeah. It doesn't matter in this game. It's all new. It, you know, like, the enemies, they'll do stuff that you're not used to, and that's what I like about it. Like, the enemies in the world, I thought that those were more dangerous. And, in fact, I ran into a part near the end that I ended up just reloading, and I said, you know, I don't have to be here.
I don't have to be here.
I can do this differently. So I did it differently.
I will say that when I think of reviews, I'm a little more mechanical in breaking things down into parts, which is why it's harder for me to give a 10 that way. Because when we talk about The Last of Us, we'll go back to that. I think that's like an 8.5, that game. Because, I mean, but everyone goes crazy about the story. That's like that's where the 10 comes from, the story. But to me, that's like one aspect of the game. Everything else was kind of conventional in that game, or just like the same old, same old. That's why, to me, like if I break it down, that part's a 10. But like, let's say the actual
Polygon game, gave it a 6. So,
is that or something? Point of view for this. So we'll go back to this. I don't know. This game might not be this, but when I think about Horizon, about the thing that stands out to me is like how alive the world is. I never felt like the world has been terribly alive in a Zelda game. I don't know if this is like this though. But yeah. I'm just wondering if you know.
I think that you have a Wii U and you would be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't play this game.
I don't
even if you don't like Zelda, like, still. This is a game that comes along and it's amazing because I hate open world games, but this game just is exactly what I wanted from a Zelda game for a long time.
I do have to ask you though, Jim, because you brought it up in the Slack. You were disappointed in this game because of how much review coverage it got.
I felt that that's the part of me that was like.
Well, this happens every time anything gets hyped up for you, though, Jim. Like anything.
No, because I like Logan. I didn't have any complaints about Logan with the hype. That's recent, Mike. I just rattled off one.
You also were intentionally pretty hesitant about it, and you don't give Fox credit. So, you expected it.
Giving Fox credit has nothing to do with the fact that I like the movie.
If that movie had those reviews and this was like a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, your expectations would have been even higher. And you would have been disappointed.
I found myself, okay, so the reason I started this game immediately, the reason I started Horizon before this when it came in was because I wanted to play the both of them because they're so close, and I wanted to find out, like, really, like, how is Horizon getting a 9 and this is getting perfect scores? I gotta know why. Like, I gotta play it. And so when I was playing the game, I was, like, evaluating that part, and I felt like that, well, obviously it didn't take away from the game from me. I still give it the best Zelda game I've played now that I finished it. It still made me overly critical of certain aspects. I think I have been. I agree.
I think you get too tied to the number. I think that's your problem, man. You get too tied to the number.
I just was like, why is this game rated so much higher than Horizon? Like, why? What does this game do that's different? And then I realized that it's actually... No. Then I realized that it actually does do things differently, and you can play the game however you want. Like, it doesn't make you climb a ladder to get to a spot. You can climb the fucking wall if you want, Mike. I mean, in Dungeons, you know, like, maybe there are areas you can't climb. Like, I can't talk about this. I'm keeping it vague.
That's another thing, like, that I sort like, of... Although you said you guys broke these things, but in Zelda, I remember most of the puzzles are... figure out what the developer wanted you to do in this situation to the T, or else it won't work. That's, you know.
Sure, and I'll agree that that's how past games were. Yeah, and that's gone. Not like this at all.
It's gone. Like, it's absolutely gone. Okay. I can guarantee you that Tony solved this one puzzle way differently than I did because I broke it. I played basketball and I got so lucky. I nailed it, and I wasn't supposed to do it that way. So
I think that's the whole point, though, is like you can do it however, like you were saying, you can do however you can do it. If you can do it, you can do it. Like, that's the whole idea.
And that's the point. Like, Tony, you found all these places originally, and I'm like, wait, what? There's places? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't take the road. I haven't been on the roads at all, I realize. Yeah. I'm like climbing over mountains, and I'm like running into these weird monsters, and I'm just like, Jesus, this is crazy up here. And the roads, there's so much, there's actually like people. mountains, but.
I had this moment over the weekend where I got this item that made me immune to something. And I was just being a dick about it because I was like, I can exploit this to my own benefit right now. So I was just being a dick and just like running around, just trying to farm enemies and stuff like that, and just being a dick about it. And lo and behold, something actually happened where I interacted with the world in such a way that like I solved the secret without even knowing that it was a secret. Like it just happened to be like a certain, like, 100% coincidence, but I was like, I didn't even think about that. It was just kind of like I was going in this general direction. I saw this one thing, and I was like, ah, I'll just run around that, and this thing happened. I was just like, it literally blew my mind. And then I talked to this NPC later that's supposed to tell you about this thing, and I was like, yeah, I did it already. And he's like, oh, well.
That's okay. Happened. So it happened a few times in this game, yeah. So, I mean, there's few things that I did do that with. I'm like, no, I've already done this. So
it's, and look, the thing is, even the Link doesn't speak in this game, and I'm I'm sorry. What's one more I have?
Point asked. There are some aspects where I wish he did talk. Like
I'll get there. But the voice acting,
oh,
could have been a little bit better.
That was a little better. I mean, that wasn't good. It was not good.
No, Zelda. Oh God, whoever they got for Zelda, I'm like, you need to step up your game a little bit more. Like, I don't know if this is your first rodeo. It seems like it is. You need
to stick. I felt like a lot of them were like that. I'm like, I don't want to, like. I just, there was all the voice acting areas. I found myself reading the text anyways, because I was like, I don't like their voice acting. Yeah. I didn't like any of it, really. So
yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I never had a problem with the lack of it, but people got their way, so whatever.
People got their way.
Yeah.
But I feel like they could have spent more money on
21st
that.
21st century got its way.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about the game is, even though Link doesn't like verbally talk, whenever you interact with an NPC, you have choices in this game. And the dialogue, like, which is like what you're responding to him with, gets so, I'm not sure if it's intentionally or unintentionally hilarious, because you could just say some of the most ridiculous shit to people in this game, and it's like, damn, like, I'm the hero, but I just said to this person, like, nah, I'm not gonna help you, like,
yeah.
This one NPC is like,
go fuck yourself, buddy.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's this one NPC that he wanted me to go do something, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll go do this for you, and I did it, and I came back to him, and you're like, blah, 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 you know, just going through motions. And he's like, all right, well, you know, thanks. And then one of the options is like, but my reward, ? He's like,
yes.
You want a reward? Yeah. I was like, what should you, like, I'm going to throw down with you right now. I'd risk
but Tony,
life and
but
live.
Tony, isn't the quest getting isn't that the reward, getting it done?
Yeah. And I mean, that's ultimately what I think would actually do you good, Jim. It's not the destination, it's the journey here. And in terms of the journey was just...
I like the journey, and I just get to a point where I want to...
And that's fine, but, you know, it's the journey. I think you need to enjoy the journey.
It's like that, yeah. That's awesome. That Miley Cyrus song.
Yeah.
It's the climb.
Nothing is like any Miley Cyrus song.
Corey, do you have any, like, comments or questions for the game at all? I mean, I haven't even played it yet, but, like, I know Mike's been asking about, like, certain things, but...
No, I kind of brought up the things that I had thought about as you guys were speaking, just in general. And obviously, I'm looking forward to playing it. And like I said, this is one of those games where it seems like it's all about the discovery and just kind of learning the things and making you feel awesome for figuring something out that you, like, wow, nobody's figured this out before. And like, that's the feeling. Like, I think that this game is like really going for, and it seems like it's really got you guys, you know, excited for it. That's why I'm excited to play it.
I think it has a really good like water cooler effect in terms of like,
yeah,
like
because like you're figuring things out, like you guys just keep going back and forth, like, oh, I figured this out, but then right. No, I did this thing, and it's the same thing, but it's like totally different.
Right. Yeah,
and I mean, just to like cite, you know, something like when like Mass Effect 1 and 2 happened, or you know, even 3, like people were just like, oh, who'd you take on this mission, or who'd you take, you know, during the suicide run and stuff like that. Like that was a topic of conversation.
Who
was like
died.
Yeah, like, I took Tali because, you know, she could hack the stuff, and I took whoever because she had the best biotic fields or whatever.
And who would I want to die? So this is...
Exactly. It's like, who'd I want to sacrifice? But, like, I think Zelda has a good, like, what did you do? Because it's like, I went this certain way, and I was talking to my wife, she's like, nope, haven't even been there. I'm over here. I'm like, you went there first? Like, holy shit. Like, no wonder you're having a tough time with this game, because I think that's... a bit more of the advanced, you know, area, and just like
there was one area that I was like, thank God I didn't do this first. There was yeah, that happened.
Yeah, some of them are a bit more brutal. And personally,
like, you know what it is though, like the one that area, because I played the other Zelda games, I was like, I'm no,
you know better.
I know I'm not supposed to be there. Like I know it. Yeah. So there is some, I guess some, there's some good things to, if you're you know, a lifetime Zelda player, there's some knowledge that you have that kind of helps you in this game a little. But the second you don't respect this game, you die. That's the way it works.
Like, everything in the game tries to kill you. Like, everything. Yeah. And one of the most frustrating parts is, like, this isn't really a spoiler thing, but, like, if you get knocked down, and I'm not just talking, like, knocked down, like, you know, on the floor. Like, if you get knocked down and you start rolling on, like, a slope or a hill or a mountain, like, you take extra damage because you're falling, like, tumbling down. I don't know how many times I die because I'm like, I'll just eat something as soon as I get up or whatnot. And just like, no, game over. I'm like, God, you fucked killing me. This one time, I fucked up because I had an explosive and I got, like, an enemy triggered my explosive before I wanted it to happen. And we all just went flying. I flew off the cliff and I just, I died. Like, I died on impact. There was no living through that. I was like, you got me. Like, fair enough.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's a great game, you guys. Like, you guys have to experience it. You really do. For open, Mike, you play open world games. You, like, you love open world games. I know you do.
I mean, I'm a little more back. We're newer.
No, that's open world done properly. Is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it is the next evolution of open world. I guarantee you. Now that this game is out, open world games are going to take things away from this game. I guarantee it.
Sure. I agree. All right. I'm just gonna wrap up the podcast. We've talked enough. So I'll talk about the Switch hardware next week. I have obviously had some issues, but we'll get into that next week. So
Switch lower ratings for Mew than Zelda, correct? As what? A console.
Switch oh yeah,
as a console, lower ratings from Mew.
The console
than
is much
Zelda.
Lower than the game, but it's not all bad. I mean, it's a cool idea. Like, that portability aspect made me finish Zelda in a week because I was able to. Never mind. I wasn't playing it at work, I promise. it was really cool. But all right, that's going to wrap up episode. Anybody else? Anything else, Dad? I was just checking. Okay, wrap up episode 335, GamesCast. Thanks for tuning in. Write us podcast at allyoungeek.net. Follow us on Twitter at allyoungeek. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch us on there. And tune in next week. We'll have more Switch talk. I want to talk about the hardware next week. And maybe if Corey gets into Zelda at all, we'll see. All right.